Guarda sé. It's already on. Test, test. There it is. So, I don't know if you can hear me. I feel like I have to hold it up still. Are you good? Yeah. You can hear? You guys can hear? All right. So, we are going to talk a little bit about victory over food, or really food addiction, or,
Pizza.
So it's a little, runs to a little on the low side. But Webster's definition of food is any material consisting of protein, carbohydrate, fat that is used to sustain growth, repair our body, sustain our vital processes, and furnish energy. So with that, right off the back, I mean, most of us use food for pleasure. When we're happy, when we're sad, for events, for everything. Food is just something that we turn to even after church tonight. I mean, after Bible study, we'll go have food. It's what we do in our culture. But it's not always the right kind. There's a lot of processed foods, and we'll go on to the next slide. Jackie. So even from the beginning, in Genesis 1, 29, and 9, 3, God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. So from this verse, these two verses tells me, God gave us everything we needed to survive as far as food. He gives us the plants, he gives us the animals, he gives, which is the protein and your vegetables, your fruits. He supplied it all for us. There wasn't every need that we have, he gives us the supply of it. So that is what we should be eating, which is whole foods that come straight from the earth, not stuff that's processed and I'm speaking to myself also because I don't fully cut out processed foods at this point, but it is a goal of my own. Next slide. So Michael Pollan is just a writer of this book called Food Rules, and it has a lot of simple rules in it. If you want to pull it up and read it, it was a very short read, but there's, I don't know how many, 50 rules or something. But rule 19 says, if it's a plant, eat it. If it was made in a plant, don't. It's that simple. If it's made in a plant, leave it alone. Next, that's processed foods. Just a few more Bible verses that goes along with eating healthy and taking care of your body. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, you're doing it all for the glory of God. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. 1 Corinthians 6:19. So knowing that you, including everything you eat or drink, is to bring him glory. Whatever, to take care of your body is bringing God glory, and everything we do should be bringing him glory. So if Jesus was standing in front of you, what would you feed him? What would you be giving him? And you can answer that question if you want. Fried potatoes and gravy. What? You second that? Fried chicken? Well, all right, not the answers as I expected. But you would give them.
He said, all food is good, but not how we cook it.
Well, maybe that's what he meant. Yeah. Well, because the fried stuff, I mean, you're adding to it. You're adding to with the oils, and so that's not from the earth. Now, if you use olive oil or avocado oil that's straight from the product, that's much healthier and it's okay. So, if we believe that Jesus lives in us, why wouldn't we fuel our temple with what he has provided for us, which is fruits and veggies, meats? It's all here. We just have to... More fruits and veggies. What do you mean? You can have meat. He provided meat, right?
Right.
So you can have meat. I mean, everything you have to eat in proportion, in certain portions, and control it. I mean, anything you overeat, you can overdo it. Because overall, you have to burn more calories than you're bringing into your body. So if you're eating steak 5 times a day, you're still going to eat too many calories unless you're out running all day long. But so my next point, I'm not sure. You have the power to overcome. In Proverbs 3:13, it tells us, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. So not just knowing, but putting into action what you know and what you've learned. And each one of us knows what we should be eating for the most part. Some of the younger kids don't know. They grow up on processed foods. They don't know any different. But as adults, most of us know we have the wisdom. We just need to put it into action. So how do we make that change? Before we go there, there's a lot of mind changes you have to make that's not on the slides up there, but being positive in your life, count your blessings. Anybody who's counting their blessings is not looking at poor me or what's going wrong in your life. And anytime that you're counting blessings and you're thankful and you're happy, you're going to make better decisions overall in life. So, and surround yourself with support people here, anywhere that you need to, if you're trying to improve what you're eating. Next. So, a few wisdom tips, and this is where you get down to your fill-in spots on your sheet that I would provide you of stuff that I've learned. And when I started, I'm only teaching from what I know and what I've learned. When I started, I would say 97% of my foods I ate was processed when I started my journey in 2015. I didn't know any different. And I didn't even go into the journey thinking that I was going to change the foods I was eating. I was just thinking that I needed to change the amount of foods that I was eating. I wasn't looking at the nutrients that come from foods. So your whole foods are foods that's growing, come straight from the earth. But they provide all the nutrients, all the vitamins, everything our body needs to function. The body is one heck of a machine that functions in way more ways than we can ever imagine. And it takes the vitamins and the nutrients that come from those fruits and vegetables that most of us don't eat, and comes from the meats, and to build muscle and to just make it live from day to day. So again, whole foods are supply nutrients and they come from the earth. They don't have ingredients to them. You can go to the next one. Number 2, avoid added sugar. Everything sitting on the shelves of a store has sugar in it. There is over 60 names of sugar out there. A lot of them will end with like OSC, fructose, dextrose, brown rice syrup. I mean, there's, again, over 60 names that is sugar. So if sugar, one of the tips that I've learned is if sugar's in the top 3 ingredients in an item, you want to eat foods that have as few ingredients as possible. So if you can find a can of tomatoes that just has tomatoes and water, that's much better than one that's going to have a list of 10 or 12 things in it that you can't even read what those ingredients are because you don't know what it is. It's some type of chemicals and processed stuff that's being added to it. But also, if you look for sugar in the top three ingredients, again, you have to educate yourself on what the name of those sugars are. That is a second step that you can take, and you're going to eat mostly whole foods at that point. To confuse you? Well, some people will argue that, but it's different molecules, it's different formulations of sugar, but your body reacts to them all the same way. Even artificial sweeteners, your body will react to it just as it's sugar for the most part. So like diabetics who think eating sugar, alcohol, or sugar-free products that say they're sugar-free aren't truly sugar-free because they have alcohol or they have xylitol or erythritol. There's many different ones that they can list in a sugar-free product that is still a sugar product. It still acts the same in your body. So if you're eating it, you're doing the same thing as eating sugar to your body.
So eating whole foods eating the whole pizza doesn't work.
Nope. Eating the whole pizza isn't going to work. That's not the type of whole food that you're eating.
That's my justification.
That's your justification? Well, maybe you should eat foods that has, maybe you should eat foods that only have one ingredient, if you want to call it that. So a whole food only has one ingredient. It doesn't have anything added to it. Tomatoes, potatoes, onions, whatever. Pineapple, oranges. There's not ingredients in that. So if you trying to eat healthy and you eat food that has, if you want to call it one ingredient or no ingredients, it's either way is true. That's a better way to look at it instead of eating a whole food, I guess. We have learned also the typical portion size, which I don't think is on the slides either. And we use our hands for that. Just like we use our hands to share the gospel, we have a hand portion control. So protein should actually fit in the palm of your hand. And for women, you should eat one of those per meal. For men, it's two. So if you could take your meat and sit it into the palm of your hand, it would be a circle in the palm of your hand. Carbohydrates is one cupped hand, so whatever you can hold, like cup your hand, whatever you can hold in the cup, that's a carbohydrate serving. And this is just a more simple way of, instead of having to measure every single thing, not that you're going to put it into your hand, but. Well, if you have bigger hands, you're probably taller and you have a bigger body build, so you require more food. You require more food. It isn't fair for the ones that are short like me. I can't eat as much. Or has little hands. If someone has little hands, then. So vegetables or fruit. A typical serving size is your fist. And again, men can have two per meal and women can have one. Your fats, which is your oil, your butter, your dressing, your nuts, your cheese, is only a thumb. So the size of your thumb is a serving size. Right. One serving of fat is the size of your thumb. Fat includes all of those things I just listed. Oil, butter, dressings, nuts, cheese. That's all in the fat categories. So for women, you can only have one, that little bit for each meal. For men, it's two.
I can only have that much cheese?
That much cheese. You can have, now that's for each meal. They suggest 3 to 4 meals a day. But still, four of this is not very many in a day's time. It's about five almonds, yes. It's true. About five almonds. I think.
They're not that many, five almonds is really joy.
So go back to the sugar just a little bit before we move on. A lot of us know sugar causes inflammation in your body, and that's what happens just cutting sugar out. I'm telling you, if you just cut sugar out, you'll be completely shocked. You can ask Sarah, within 2-3 days, you're going to have withdrawals the first few days. So you may have headaches just like you're coming off of caffeine or any other drug. It is that strong and powerful in your body. So you will have to withdrawals from it if you're eating a lot of it now. But sugar causes inflammation buildup. So a lot of people think it's like the fat that you're eating in your artery that's clogging your arteries and stuff. And you get little breaks and tears in your arteries. And that can be true to an extent, but it's the sugar that gets built up in there that causes the inflammation within these cracks that is actually what is affecting your body. And arthritis and joint pain and heart disease, all of it can be more, it can be caused by the sugar. So we already said sugar has 60 names at least. I would suggest you look them up. Sarah has a good picture that she shares on Facebook a lot that we could try to send to you guys if you were interested. But again, even if you're overeating healthy foods, you have to be careful of that and stick to the portion sizes. Next. Number three is stay hydrated. So how much water do you drink a day? Nothing? 100 ounces? That's good. What do you drink? I don't know the actual percentage, but your body, your body is actually made up of, do you know, like, the percentage of your body that's made up of water, Amber, off the 75%? I was thinking, like, 80% is what I've heard. So your body is made up of a lot of water, and you need to completely replenish it. Not just that, the water will flush out the toxins, the water will flush out the salt that you're eating on a daily basis, so it will help restore. Drinking water alone can reduce migraines. There's a lot of symptoms that you may think you're hungry or you may think that something else is wrong, and all you have to do is increase your fluid intake of water. Don't drink your calories. So anything that has calories in it, I wouldn't suggest that you drink. Try replacing it with water. Now, I have started drinking coffee since 2015. I was not a coffee drinker before that, but I don't add sugar and stuff to my coffee, so I do add a little bit of half and half, but I'm even working my way back at cutting that out at this point. So next is move. So whatever you're doing now, what I've learned is 150 minutes a week is what you should, is an average that you should aim for, especially if you're doing nothing, which is 5 30-minute workouts or 10, 15-minute workouts, or whatever you break it down in through the week. If you're not doing anything, walk. Walking will do amazing things for your body. If you're already exercising, you may have to increase the intensity of it. You may have to jog, you may have to go swimming, or you may have to lift heavier, you may have to, whatever it is that you're doing, you may have to do it harder or longer for it to have an effect on your body. But if you're not doing anything, move. Just walk. Just go outside and walk for 10 minutes, or even walk around your house for 10 minutes. Exercise helps your body, your joints, helps stuff flow, but also helps you mentally. Many, many times, if you're not feeling good, if you're feeling down, just go for a walk. The exercise alone will increase your endorphins, and you will feel better after going for a walk. Maybe not physically, but mentally, you will feel better. After a while, you will physically, especially if you're watching it overall, everything you're eating, feeding in your body with the nutrients and vitamins and stuff it needs, and getting rid of all the processed junk that's out there. It's all made up of chemicals. We all know that. We look at these boxed macaroni and cheese, whatever, and you can't even read what the ingredients are that's listed in them because it's all processed chemical stuff. And we don't need to eat it. And like I said, God has given us what we need. It comes from the earth. And no, we're not all farmers and we're not going to all grow it right now, but it's easily available still. Just go out and, like in the grocery store, the outside perimeter, like they say, is where you should be shopping. When I was trying to make a dish for church tonight, I was trying to use what I had at home and realized that the only thing I have in a can in my cabinet is beans. Beans, that's it. I don't even have canned vegetables in my cabinet. No. A lot of canned vegetables even have sugar added to them. I've seen corn that has sugar added to it in a can. Yeah, see? So even canned vegetables will have sugar added to it. So you have to be careful. It may get rid of a little bit of it. It's going to get rid of the sodium more than the sugar. But it's definitely better than not eating vegetables at all, is to eat them canned. But if possible, you want to eat the fresh. But that's or frozen, yeah. But again, is it going to be an investment to eat whole foods? Yes, it will be. But in the long run, you're going to feel better. Your body's going to be stronger and healthier. So you're not going to have all the side effects that come from eating crap that you're putting in your body. And most likely, a whole food is going to fill you up faster and keep you full longer. So if you would eat, can't think of a good example, but if you eat an apple, the fiber is going to keep you full longer than if you eat a piece of bread. I mean, they're both going to have carbohydrates to them, but the apple is going to keep you full longer, so you're not going to eat again in two hours compared to if you were eating a food. And the amount of food that you can eat, if it's whole foods, is humongous, really. If you're filling a plate up, half of your plate should be fresh, but should be vegetables and very little fruit. And then with the other half of your plate, one-third starches, which you want to try to keep as your complex starches, so sweet potatoes, a lot of vegetables have starches. When people think about cutting out starches, they think they're cutting all the breads and stuff, and you are, but you're not really cutting it all out, because if you're eating potatoes and zucchini and peas and corn, that is all starchy vegetables. So you're getting plenty of carbohydrates from those vegetables that you don't need the processed flour that's going to cause your blood sugar to spike. And every time your blood sugar spikes, if it, like, processed sugar makes it spike up really fast, and then you come down, like when you have those, you eat a candy bar, you'll have energy really quick, but then you'll come down and you'll feel really drowsy afterwards. If you're eating whole foods and not having all that processed sugar added in there, that's going to stabilize out and your body's going to become normal, and you won't have those spurts where you're tired at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever time frame it is for you. You're going to have energy throughout the day with less food to sustain yourself through the whole day and probably keep on going and not, you'll feel like the Energizer Bunny. You'll just be able to keep on going. What other questions do you have?
Since we're really, truly be honest and transparent, yeah. Since we're not very disciplined people, what's a good way to transition into it? You know, just to say you're going to do this overnight, it's not happening.
It's not going to happen overnight.
So,
I would suggest what I did was food journal in the beginning. So if you don't currently do that, and you're not doing this just for weight loss, what you're feeding your body will affect every organ in your body. You may be a normal weight and still have high cholesterol and have heart problems. So it's not just a weight loss issue. Food journal would be the start to see. That alone will open your eyes of what you're really eating. And when you're writing something down, you'll notice that you're eating, hey, maybe I shouldn't be eating so many candy bars or Hershey bars this past week for me. Because to be completely honest, I'm not like real disciplined at this point. But discipline really does take in. With this, I kind of went with what the actual tips of the food. I figured that was what people wanted to hear. But most of you have heard my testimony, and it takes a lot of internal getting right, knowing that, well, no one becomes way overweight, I think, just by eating too much. There's other problems there that you have to take care of, or mental issues or emotions that you usually have to take care of, and the food journaling can go along with that. You can journal your emotions and realize, hey, every time I'm around this person or every time I feel this, I'm turning to ice cream or whatever. Starchy breads is a big one. Salty foods, people turn to that a lot. So journal for a week and see where you're at. Then look back on it and pick one thing. You're not going to jump in and do all of this at a time. Pick one thing, one small change, and make it. And you'll probably have to do it 3 to 4 weeks, and maybe you won't even succeed most of the time at it. But you'll just keep trying, or if it gets to a point, you may have to make a different change if it's too hard and make a smaller step. For instance, cutting all sugar out, you're definitely not going to do that the first week, probably. But if you start with cutting out cakes and candy bars and cookies, you could do that. And then your next week, or just start with one of those, and next week you add on to it. Or maybe you start with the first week that you're not going to drink soda if you're a soda drinker or a tea drinker. And you switch that one thing over. And then after you become a habit with that, you go on to the next thing and on to the next thing and on to the next thing. And that's how I've become where I'm at, that Whole Foods is the majority of my diet at this point. It is still not all of it. And like I said, I never thought of food really as nutrients when I started this. I thought of food as calories and something my body needed. I didn't really... If that makes sense, it's just something that we do. We eat. We have to eat. I mean, but it wasn't, it was food was food, and it didn't matter to me if it was processed. Actually, I preferred it processed at that point. But I can just give you a quick example that kind of shocked me a couple weeks ago. I don't eat processed foods, like I just said, very much. And I haven't eaten lunch meats in I don't know how long, really. So they were having a luncheon at work for someone who was retiring, and I made little dinner rolls with ham and cheese on it, which is all processed stuff, of course. And I ate a couple of those little dinner rolls, and I ate potato chips, And I ate some kind of cake, and I ended up with blisters in my mouth. I guess it was reacting to the salt in the, because I don't eat it. So my mouth was reacting to the salt that's in the processed foods, because processed foods is a lot of salt and nitrates. So yeah, I ended up with blisters in my mouth from eating ham sandwich.
Do you have any comments on organic or non-organic?
I haven't went organic yet. I can't say I wouldn't, but I know there's probably benefits to not having the antibiotics and not having the ointment, the medications or whatever they feed the animals, but I've not come to that level, if that's what it is. If you're just making the change from eating mostly processed foods to whole foods, I don't know that I see the need at this point. But I'm not against it. Like, I'm not against organic. And I do believe that there's benefits to eating it that comes along with the hormones affecting our body, and that they could be cancer-causing agents. And I'm just not there. So anything you add to it, I don't believe is the intent of God to make it happen. And I don't think we should, but I'm not that far along to make that decision yet in my own life. What else?
You know anything about leaky gut?
I do. Leaky gut is, I've learned a little bit about it, but it's similar to, like, you have the inflammation and stuff in your stomach and intestines, and a lot of it is coming from eating the wrong foods and the sugar build up, and it's just like the bad material is just seeping out into your body.
Does probiotics fix that?
It can. So your gut, your internal health, has microorganisms that live in there, and that when you eat something, it digests the food. The organisms digest your food. There's good and bad bacterias. And when you get too much of the bad bacteria build up, it can cause tiny little pinholes in your intestines. And when you get that, it starts leaking into your body, is what it is. So you want to heal your gut. And to heal your gut, you need to remove the processed sugars and eat the good bacterias, which is in fermented foods or yogurt. But yeah, that's, there's
yogurt without sugar in it.
Non-fat Greek yogurt. Danone Oikos is a good brand. I don't like yogurt, to tell you the truth. I'm eating yogurt for dinner tonight because I do see the benefits of eating the yogurt in your intestines, and there is a lot of research that says that what goes on in your gut can affect your whole body. I mean, there is people that believe a bad gut health can cause you to be, it can be the whole cause that you're overweight. It can be the whole cause that you have a heart disease issue. It's solely controlled by what's in your gut, and that's all affected by what you're feeding into your body. The nutrients. There is a lot of foods that's superfoods that you can find like that. But the key is to eat the rainbow. Eat lots of different lots of different vegetables of all different colors, because each one of them has different nutrients that your body needs. So through your day, you want to be eating all different colors. Your plate should be pretty. It should be a rainbow of colors when you're eating. It should actually make you be happy. I mean, most of the time, Yeah. Gravy is something I've given up. Yep.
Salt.
I've heard that too, and I don't eat pink Himalayan salt either, but I don't eat regular salt as well. Not a whole lot. I do add it some. There's certain foods that you just can't eat without salt, I believe. But I've heard that it's much better for you than regular salt. That's all I know, though. I don't know. Some of them are, again, some of them are processed, and there's a lot of stuff added to them. Yeah. Sea salt is natural. It comes from the earth. So that's where, like the pink Himalayan, I know. Yeah. That's part, the pink Himalayan is from.
And with pistachios, you have to get so much working, you only get a little treasure. So yeah. It's good for you, you don't eat as much.
I mean, there are so many topics, and it could take us 6 months to cover every little thing. I tried to bring like a general overview and just of some tips that I've learned. The biggest thing is to stay connected in prayer. I mean, that's how mine started. When I first did it, the Lord told me I needed to cut back on everything. I just overeat, and I still do, honestly. I overeat. There's not one food group that I've cut out completely. There's not one food group that I eat more than another intentionally when I'm overeating. I just overeat. No matter what I'm eating. So for me, the Lord's like, just cut back on everything. It actually started in 2012 with the fast when I did lose 80 pounds and gained it back. And I didn't fast one single thing. My fast was everything, not all at once. I just cut back is what I did because that's where my problem was. I was addicted to food. And it can still creep back, just like any bad habit. You have to stay on top of it. You have to stay focused. You have to stay in prayer and know that whatever God is speaking to you about, that's the change you need to make, and just take a step forward with it. For me, at this point, it is the whole food thing, and that's why I've talked on it a lot this evening. But it wouldn't have been that 2 years ago, it would have been a different topic at that point. That's just where I'm at currently, and that's all I can talk on.
I chose to fast breakfast, and I have done that for 12 to 13 years of fasted breakfast. So there's like a 15-hour period where my body doesn't get any food.
And there,
so the body eats up that, all of that food, because it's...
There's a lot of research out there that will tell you that you need to eat six small meals a day, especially if you're diabetic or something, to keep your blood sugar stable, and it's just not true from what I've told. It's not true. Actually, it's better for your body to have that long fasting period. There's a lot of research now that shows that intermittent fasting, which is having a big window like PK does of 15, 16 hours a day where your body is digesting what was already in there, and it takes that long for it to use up, and then it uses up the stored energy that you have.
And then where I took it to the next level is I began to run during that fasting period.
Mm-hmm. Some people can do that. I don't know that I recommend go running. And I do, honestly, though. I do my 6 a.m. workouts 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, fasting, because I'm not getting out of bed and eating before I go work out, honestly. So I'm fasting, too. I haven't eaten all night long. I don't have a certain cutoff time, but I definitely don't eat all the way up to the night, and I don't get up in the middle of the night and eat. Do I snack through the day? Yeah, it just depends on what day it is. If I'm hungry and want a snack, fruits, nut, even vegetables is what I will snack on at any time through the day. But I just don't eat through the night. So I do have that fasting window, just not as long as PK's is right now. But there is lots of evidence that shows that that does work. Yep.
How would you prepare it?
How would I prepare it?
How are you going to prepare it that it's
baked.
Okay.
That's usually how I make
plain.
It. No, I don't eat it plain.
I can't eat.
Butter? Sour cream?
The butter's good.
Real butter? Real butter? Real butter? Yeah. The real stuff's good. The real stuff's good for you. Your body is just going to process it, and it's going to help everything else move through your body. Fat's not completely bad for you. It's the processed fats, the trans fats and stuff that are bad for you that's been processed and added to all the processed foods. But real fats that come from the whole foods is not bad for you. So even where I go, we're recommended to eat whole food, whole fats. Don't eat low-fat products. Why wouldn't you not eat low-fat products, you think? Any guesses? And Sarah's going to know the answer to that. But anybody else have a guess?
It's processed to get it low-fat.
It is processed. And to remove the fat, they have to add something to make it taste good. So it's usually sugar is what they're adding. So low-fat products typically have a lot more sugar in them, which also means if you're diabetic or you're not, because you don't want your blood sugar spiking even if you're not diabetic, there's a whole nother parts to it that we don't have time to go into, but yeah, they'll just add sugar to it because it's going to taste good that way. The research they do to figure out what triggers your brain, because everything you eat triggers the chemicals in your brain to feel good or not to feel good. The processed potato chips, they do tons and tons and thousands of dollars of research to figure out this level of salt and this level of fat is what people want when they eat it, and they're going to continue to eat it because it triggers the happy hormones in your brains. But in reality, that's not what you want. That's why you're sad, because you're not eating potato chips? That's why you're sad, because you're not eating potato chips? All right, so another rule that Michael Pollan has that's in his book, it was just simple, is you can eat whatever desserts you want, including potato chips, if you make them at home from whole ingredients. So if you slice those potatoes and you use olive oil and you bake them or fry them that way, you're welcome to eat them, but you have to take the effort to make them from a whole ingredient so that you're not getting Pringles. Yeah. So you're not getting all the processed. Pringles aren't even real potatoes. They're just processed stuff that's formed together to look like a potato chip that you eat. I do like Pringles, or I did like Pringles. I haven't had them for a while, so I don't know if I like them anymore. And your body does adjust to whatever you're eating. That's what your body will crave. If you're eating sugar and sweets all the time, your body's going to crave sugar and sweets. But if you're eating those fresh fruits and vegetables, your body is actually going to crave that also. So it takes some time, again, to get past it. But once it's over with, it will crave those foods, and it will want what you're feeding it. What else? Anything?
I'm just going to say a couple things.
Yep.
My new motto is, I've got to eat to live, not live to eat.
Yes.
And I read somewhere that a sugar addiction was harder than a cocaine addiction to break, and I do not know if that's true or not, but it suddenly dawned on me, oh, the Holy Spirit's got to help me. I can't do this.
We can't do it by ourselves.
So when you say pray, I mean really believe that the Holy Spirit will help you
Yes.
And it doesn't matter whether it tastes good or not if you're going to eat to live.
Right, you're eating to live, so you need to fuel your body for what you're going to do. When you put food into your body, you're fueling your body for what you're going to do in the next 4 to 6 hours. So if you're going to be sitting on the couch, you don't need very much fuel to sit on the couch and watch TV. If you're going to go running, you're going to need a little bit more. So you want to fuel your body for what it's going to do. You don't want to, like you said, eat to live, not live to eat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, yeah. A lot of people can't.
So when I'm eating it at night, I'm storing it for tomorrow.
That's fine.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's fine. Like I said, some people think that you should cut off your eating a few hours before going to bed. I've never fully done that and seen any difference. I have done it. I don't see any difference in it other than it may, depending on what you eat, may infect your intestines and you may have an upset stomach or something, or you may or may not sleep better. But as far as losing weight, as far as burning the energy, I don't think it matters what time you're eating it. At nighttime, because you're going to not, most people aren't going to eat through the nights. There is people who get up in the middle of the night and snack, and I wouldn't recommend that at all. But if you're just getting out of bed to go eat a bowl of cereal and then go back to bed, that's not a smart decision to make. And there is people who do it, but you shouldn't. It's time. Madi says it's time. I don't know what time it is, to tell you the truth. I know. The food box downstairs. Oh, that was the last slide. I didn't... Just to remember that the purpose of food is to provide us energy and to help us live so we can do what we are called to do. So if you know God has a call in your life to go help people, most likely you're going to have to be able to get up and move and do that and to live that life and to be able to call out, to live out your purpose, you need to take care of your body. It's that simple. It's simple, but it's not.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yep.